Welcome to VI Talk, sharing ideas, information and support.
Hi everyone, it's Jo and I have with me a former trustee of VI Talk, Tracy Wilson. Hi Tracy.
Hi there Jo.
How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Okay, good. So Tracy's come today to talk about her new project, which is all to do with counselling. But firstly, I'm going to ask Tracy a little bit about counselling as a visually impaired person. So how did you get into counselling, Tracy?
Okay, so scarily enough, I've been qualified as a counsellor for 20 years this year, so which is a bit frightening to think that it's been that long. So I got into counselling because I was the job I was doing at the time, I used to work with the elderly, and I felt that I needed to do something to enhance kind of my knowledge and skills, and something that I could do it alongside that. So I started off with a basic counselling course, and I did level one, and then I thought, oh, I'll do level two, and then I did level three. And before I knew it, I was doing the full advanced diploma in therapeutic counselling. So I fully enjoyed each of those different levels. And then through the advanced diploma, I did a number of placements to qualify as a counsellor. You need to do placements to evidence that you can practice as a counsellor and work with clients. So I did that through three or four different placements with a variety of different client groups, and then qualified, like I say, back in 1999.
Wow. So how do you find, or did you find, bit counselling as somebody with a visual impairment? Did you find that really difficult, or did you just kind of rely on your other sort of senses to pick up, when you can see, you can pick up visual cues and things, can't you?
So there have been times over the years where it has been a little bit of a challenge, and there have been times where I've been challenged or questioned about how suitable I am to counsel people, because, as you say, that there's visual clues that sighted people would pick up from other people, for example, body language, facial expressions, hand gestures, and those things that would again back up what somebody was saying verbally. So there have been times where that has been a bit of a challenge, and but I think over the years and through experience and working alongside other counsellors and through supervision, I've explored some of those. For me, sometimes there've been insecurities about my ability to be able to practice as a counsellor. But I think I've developed, like you say, additional skills and made use of other senses to be able to work effectively with the clients that I've worked with. So whether that's listening for the tone of voice and listening more for the inference that people put into their words what they're saying, and just being open and honest with people about that kind of level of inability sometimes to pick up on some of those clues. But I think I've kind of found a way around that.
Mm-hmm. So after several years not counselling and doing many other things and building lots of useful skills, you're back into doing counselling again, aren't you?
I am. So yeah, as you said, I had a bit of a break from being in any kind of, because a lot of my counselling experience has been voluntary. I have done some private practice over the years, but the majority of it has been in voluntary and for other charities. But yeah, having had a break from that and through experiencing other job roles that I've had and through my own personal experience. I was quite keen when I relocated just over a year ago to get back into counselling and put those skills and experience to good use.
So do you want to tell us about your project, which is really interesting and I think quite exciting for Selby, which is where it's based, isn't it?
Oh, thank you. Yes, so I'm based in North Yorkshire. So when we moved here, again through the experience that I'd gained through other job roles that I'd had, I was very keen to ensure, because of things I'd become aware of and frustrations that I'd seen people experience in terms of accessing counselling services and more specifically face-to-face counselling services, and primarily through people's sight loss and their need for a deeper level of emotional support, I was very keen to set something up where people had access to face-to-face counselling. But again, a big passion of mine was to ensure that a counselling service was accessible to everybody. So I was very keen to set up a free counselling service and something that was easy for people to access.
Okay, so the name of your sort of umbrella organisation, I'm going to let you describe it better because you know all about it, is Strive, isn't it?
That's right. So to fulfil my desire to set up a free and accessible counselling service for people with either sight loss or people with disabilities and their carers and their family members. To allow that to happen and to get the funding for that to be in place, I was encouraged to set up a not-for-profit organisation. So that's where Strive was created. So Strive here in Yorkshire was formed, and I was very fortunate to meet some great people who were very enthusiastic about my idea and wanted to come on board and wanted to support that idea. And they formed the committee, and they said that they would support me to get the counselling project up and running. So we went through all the kind of legal formalities of setting up a community organisation and, not-for-profit organisation. So that formed Strive, and once that was in place, we then could apply for funding to allow for the counselling to take place. So we were very fortunate that we received some funding from the National Lottery has some local pots of money, and we received some funding from Big Local Selby, which is obviously that money is designated to projects, community projects within the Selby and North Yorkshire area, and they part of their remit is to support local residents who have an idea or project idea to support the local community, and one of their priorities was health and well-being. So I presented at their panel and demonstrated that the need for counselling for people with disabilities and low-level mental health, either separately or as a combination, would benefit from that additional emotional support. So that funding was awarded to Strive, and the counselling has commenced.
Fabulous. But within Strive, you've got Empathise, haven't you?
That's right. So my initial idea was, or my initial hope was, to set up a sight loss specific counselling service. But I've had to go a little bit around the houses to get to that point. So we needed to set up Strive initially, and so this initial funding is around general health and well-being. and people with a whole range of disabilities and health conditions. But Empathise is a sub-project of Strive, and something we're in some respects we're working with already, because there have been people coming to Strive for counselling that have experienced or are experiencing sight loss, so they're already in receiving that counselling. But the future is to develop that project further and to provide a sight loss specific face-to-face counselling service for people in the area, but possibly wider, a slightly wider area than we're already funded for.
So if somebody felt that they wanted to take advantage of the service that you offer, how would they go about getting in touch with yourselves?
So we've tried to make it as easy for people to access and to get that support as and when they need it. So they can make self-referrals, and that can be done either by email, telephone, or we do have an online secure referral form that people can submit their initial details, and then that will instigate an initial session with that person. So that's just an informal opportunity for people to find out a little bit more about what counselling can offer them and what they would hope to get from counselling, and what issues or difficulties that they're experiencing at that time. So there's a number of ways that people can get in touch, but they can also be referred by professionals that are working with them. So whether that's their GP or a rehabilitation officer, or somebody from a community organisation that they have contact with.
So do you want to give firstly, let's talk about the area that you cover. So what area would people have to live in to use Strive or Empathise?
Okay, so currently they would need to live in the Selby or District area, which is, as you said earlier, an area within North Yorkshire. But there have been, and I am providing counselling for somebody outside of that area, but they were committed and willing to travel to Selby to receive the counselling. So if people are able to travel to the venues that I use, then that referral can certainly be considered. So that's the current kind of offering at the moment, which is I know in terms of nationally, it's quite a small area, but it does cover, quite a larger area within North Yorkshire as well. And certainly with Empathise, we're looking at, being able to expand that further as well.
Mm-hmm. Fabulous. So do you have the email address to hand that people can use?
Yeah, so and as part of the support that Strive would aim to offer is that, if people, it's not to say that everybody needs counselling or wants counselling or would benefit from counselling, or that it's the right time for them. But we also can signpost people to the right support or the more appropriate support if counselling isn't the right thing for them at this time. So people can contact me by email, and that's info@StriveYorkshire, that's all one word, so that's StriveYorkshire.org.uk. And the telephone number that people can contact me on, again, for just general advice or information or to make a referral, would be 07498 623 958. We also have
you've got a web address, haven't you, as well, where people can do an online referral, is that right?
Yes, so that people can access the self referral form via the website. So the website is all the W's dot Strive Yorkshire again, all one word, .org.uk. So if on the website there is a link to that self-referral form, but there's also other information on how they, and all the contact details on how people can be in contact with us, again to get that information or to make a referral. And we also have a presence on social media, so you know, people can follow the page for Strive Yorkshire on Facebook, and they can also follow us on Twitter and Instagram as well, by searching for Strive Yorkshire.
Fabulous. Just before we close, just if somebody was thinking about studying counselling, maybe there's some young people who think that might be their, you know, career choice or the path they want to follow, what would you say as a visually impaired person? Would you encourage them to do that? Would you say it's been a good experience for you? Would you say it was really complicated? What would your sort of advice be?
I think, you know, I would definitely, you know, I would always encourage people to consider it as an option. I think it is, if you can get through those kind of some of those early barriers and some of those early challenges that I mentioned, that may present and not always, that, you know, it is a profession that people, you know, with a visual impairment can do, you know, with the right adaptations and adjustments, and there's no reason at all why somebody, you know, can't go on to be a professional counsellor. Again, I'm more than happy to have a conversation with anybody if that's an area of work that they would be interested in pursuing, you know, just for general guidance or information, or to get, you know, to kind of you know, get some support in terms of areas that they could work in, or, you know, how to make that more accessible for themselves or the clients that they work with.
That's brilliant. Thank you ever so much, Tracy. And thanks for all those contact details. And it's been a pleasure, as always, to speak to you.
Thank you for having me. Thank you.
You can contact us by emailing podcast@vitalk.co.uk, on Facebook by searching for VI Talk, on Twitter @VITalkPodcast, and our website address is www.vitalk.co.uk.